can hear the voice of the Spirit this hour, if you can hear the scent of the Spirit, and you perceive in your heart what the Lord is doing, you will know that He is consecrating you unto Himself. He is gathering you unto Himself. He's taking you out from among those who walk in darkness, that is in the world. Darkness is ignorance. And He's gathering you unto Himself. So that you also can become a blessing and a life giver to those who are in the world. But before you can do this, some of us have to go ahead of the brethren. Some of us have to start to walk in a way that is unknown to your brethren. You walk in a light that they are not aware of, in a wisdom that they've heard nothing about. You walk in a new dimension, in a world that does not seem to exist to the natural man. You must go ahead first. Because in reality, those who go ahead first end up becoming saviors of the world. They not only inherit eternal life, beauty, splendor, glory, but they also become saviors of the world, high priests of God after the order of Melchizedek, kings ruling and reigning in the glory of God, reigning and ruling in the glory of God with kindness, delivering the poor that is held captive by the wicked one. See it, lifting up those who are down there in the dunghill and causing them to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where they can reign in true glory and in true splendor. You agree with me that the way God operates has always been a mystery to man. Same Jesus Christ that the prophets prophesied about, the same Jesus that people awaited His coming for centuries, for hundreds of years. The prophets had prophesied, holy men of God waited for this coming. But when He came on the scene, it was something else, something different from what they expected. For the Bible says, had they known He was the King of glory, they would not have crucified Him. Why? Because He walked in a way that is unknown to man. He walked in a dimension that man is not aware of. He walked in a different type of wisdom and in a different type of light that man is not aware of. See, but to those who receive Him, He gives them power says those who receive him embrace his truth, embrace his doctrine. They are, you know, given the power, access to glory of God so that they can be called sons of God. Sons of God is not just a small thing, eh? See, the Son of God is not just a child's play. You know, we hear these things daily, Son of God, Son of God. It's not a child's play. It's a marvelous thing. See, you can discern from the spirits that screamed out of people when they saw Jesus, that thou art the Son of God. See, they were all, you know, shaken with fear, trembling, screaming out that you are the Son of God. Son of God, not the son of just a mortal man. Son of God, the invisible, incorruptible, immortal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Thank God. So you see, God is gathering the people unto himself. These people are not of the world. He's gathering people in a secretive manner. A manner in which the world is not aware of. See, by now we know that when God begins to move, the world is never aware of it. See, like in the days of Noah, they were going about their business, going about their, you know, the activities. The days of Lot, the same thing, going about their way. When God visited these cities, in likewise manner, as the Lord gathers his people, separates the people unto himself, it happens in a manner that is not visible to the outside world. See it. From all corners of the earth, America, Australia, Canada, Africa, see it. Different places, remote places, people catch the word, receive, you know, the voice. They hear the voice of the Son of Man. See, and they begin to ascend back to the Father. He's gathering people unto himself. Sit upon Mount Zion. Jesus Christ says that the Son of Man shall appear with great glory in the cloud, with great glory, great splendor. See it. At the sound of the trumpet, and the angels will go forth to gather people, to gather the elect from the four winds of the earth. See, the four winds of the earth, where the angels or the messengers of the God gather God's elect from, simply the realms, the dimensions of the earth, the world where we were pining away in our transgression, we were pining away in the illusion of mortal living. We are pining away in the ignorance that constitutes this world. See, but suddenly we hear the trumpet. Suddenly the angels arrive, the messengers. We hear the voice of the Spirit wherever we are. And we begin to ascend to meet the Lord in the air. That is the gathering. So he's gathering the people unto himself. See, you can call this the first company, the first fruits. Praise God. These are the sons of God. See, the pillars in the house of God. See, those who will go ahead of the brethren to partake of this glory and manifest this glory. See, Paul says that he has called us into his light and into his glory, so that through us he can demonstrate the love, his love to his only begotten Son. So that through us he can demonstrate to the world the model, that love model that has been from the foundation of the world. Praise God. Now we're going to go, you know, the Bible is full of allegories. Allegories. The Bible is full of, you know, mysteries. We call them mysteries now. We call them allegories because they were hidden from our sight. And the Lord uses these things to kind of strengthen our faith. You agree with me that some of these things we hear in parables comfort to strengthen our faith. See, they are deliberately placed in the Bible to give us insight and to make us stable in our walk with God. Because there are many distractions. There are many things that, you know, happen without that try to draw you away from that light. Draw you away from this calling that the Lord is, you know, calling us with. So somehow we have the parables, we have the allegories, we have the mysteries of the kingdom. We have deep ministration of the word to strengthen us and keep us unmovable in our goal to attain to the place of the resurrection from the dead. Praise God. Joseph in the Bible, it's an example of the glorified Christ, of his sufferings, his rejection, and his glorification. See, that story of Joseph is not an allegory that points to only just Jesus Christ of Nazareth after the flesh. No. It's a prophetic allegory that repeats itself again and again in every man that hearkens to the call of the Spirit in this hour. Joseph was loved by the Father. The Father gave him a coat, many colors. Obviously, he was daddy's boy. And we know Joseph was a dreamer, one who saw visions. A dreamer. And of course, he had offensive dreams that, you know, offended the brothers and the brethren, concerning his brethren bowing down to him, you know, and all of that. The stars, the sun and the moon bowing down to him. And of course, because of the envy, the brethren, you know, despised him. They envied him. And we know what happened. He was cast in a pit by his brethren. And somewhere along the line, he got missing. We don't want to go into the details of that. But you see that all these things were working out for good. He ended up being, you know, a slave in Egypt. From there, he ended up in a prison. From the prison, he was exalted up to kingship. See, where he ruled over the land of Egypt alongside Pharaoh. See, God is trying to use this story to teach us the path that every man who is predestined for glory must follow. Let us bear in mind that the intention of the Father is to gather all unto Himself. Ultimately, it's a continuous process. It's a world without end. People descend, people ascend, people are reconciled to God, and people, you know, stray away from God. But we must understand that the good will of God is to gather all people in one in Christ Jesus, who rules absolutely over the creation of God. See, Christ represents the body of God. He represents the self of the Almighty God. See, nothing is withheld from the Son of God, which we call Christ. See, the totality of the power and the glory and everything that is God is invested in the Son. And God's intention is to gather all people back into that body. Praise God, because only in that body can you have life, and life abundantly. See, Jesus Christ gave the parable of the vine and the branches. Of course, the branches cannot survive. You see, outside of that vine, it must stay attached to that vine to be a partaker of the life that flows through the vein of that vine. See, once the branch is cut off, it might look as it survives for some hours, for some days. So, but gradually it will wither off and it will die off. In other words, when a man strays away from his place in God, when a man strays away from his part in the body of Christ, he withers away and he dies away. See, the body of Christ represents a spiritual body, a body without form, without shape, a body that simply is. It's a spiritual celestial body. See, that is nested in God, in the Spirit. It's not of this material world. That's why Jesus Christ will say, I am not of this world. I'm not of this material world. Praise God. But in the transgression of man, or in the descent of man, man is detached from that vine. See, and gradually he withers away. When man, ceases to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to have his being in the Spirit, he's like that branch that, gradually fades away. See, all flesh is grass. See, flesh and blood, all flesh is what? Grass. See, when we stray away from Christ and begin to put on the mortal mind, that is the mind of flesh and blood, what happens is that we wither away gradually and we die away, because we are cut off from the source. See it, and as long as you are not in that vine, you are in hell, tribulation. See it, you are consumed daily, by that fire of hell. See it. You are subject to the power of corruptibility and death and hell. See, that things never work out. It's one sorrow after sorrow. See, the desires run wild. uncontrollable. The emotions run wild, uncontrollable. An endless pit. The eye is never tired of seeing. The ear is never tired of hearing. So you're never tired of wanting and lusting. And, you know, and getting frustrated and getting bitter and getting irritated. It's something that continues on and on for those who, you know, detach themselves from Christ in the Spirit. So, and this is the thing that every man has done one way or the other. Praise God. So you see, God's intention is to gather everyone back, every man. See, and this will be done, every man according to his order. See, what we should concentrate on is our personal selves as we hear the voice of the Spirit. First, concentrate on ourselves first as we hear the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. Joseph ruling and reigning on the throne of Pharaoh is a picture of the glorified Christ. See, Jesus Christ says, those that, you know, serve me, those that follow me and serve me, they with my Father honor. So that where I am, they will be there also. See, the honor of the Father is, see, the quickening and the lifting up. He honors and glorifies us in the resurrection. That is a quickening and awakening so that we are where he is. And we know that he sits at the right hand of God. That is the position of Christ. He's eternally at the right hand of God, who talks of the place of all power, the place of all pleasure, the place of all glory, the place of, you know, untouchable peace. Praise God. Where you are totally liberated from the principalities and powers that litter this present world that we live in. Praise God. So you see, Joseph sitting at the throne represents the glorification of everyone that draws close to God, everyone that serves the Lord or follows the Lord in the regeneration. Praise God. They are glorified, they are lifted up to sit on the throne. Praise God. This is the path for every man who follows Christ. See it in the letter to the church of Laodicea, which is in Revelation chapter 3, the message to the church in Laodicea, which is the seventh trumpet. It says, to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, the way I overcame and sat on my Father's throne. So what are we overcoming? We are overcoming the world. We are overcoming, see, that personal sense of life that we inherited in our descent. We are overcoming that old nature, the old self, see, that was formed by the mind that we put on, flesh and blood. See, because that is the problem. So those that overcome do sit on the throne of God, because there is nothing withheld from those who approach God, those who draw close to God. Nothing is withheld from them. See it. The anointing without measure is invested in those who enter into this dimension. Praise God. But you see, Joseph had to go through what they call a separation. Of course, he had 11 other brothers, 11 brethren who were there in the land of Canaan. These are people that he was separated from. God had to take him away ahead of them. Are you listening? That's why at times you shouldn't get worried when people don't understand you. You shouldn't get worried when you see yourself at times alone in your purpose, alone as you receive this revelation from Christ. So you shouldn't be bothered. The criticism you get from your brethren who still engage in religion, religious practices, who still carry on in the illusion of religion. Criticisms, you know, shouldn't bother. See, because the path to glory at times can be lonely. Of course, it varies, that it might be different. It goes in various ways. It might be more lonesome for some than others. But you must carry on patiently to the end. See, not looking back, because if that world that we've lived in is only coming to an end. See, all things will pass away. That which we see in this world will pass away. See, but that world which is to come, God's kingdom, is eternal, abide forever. See it. Praise God. While separated from the brethren, you see how Joseph had to, you know, resist the wife of his master. See, the wife of the master tried to seduce him. And you see how he stood his ground and, you know, refused her. That wife today is symbolic of Babylon. It's symbolic of the systems of men, the systems of religion. See, that is the spirit that lures men away from God's kingdom. See, if you will find yourself reigning and ruling in Christ, you must learn to abstain. So abstain from these appearances of evil. Abstain from, you know, that which is cooked up by men, the systems of men and the systems of religion. And stand alone in the spirit. Praise God. Now, it does not mean that physically, this is not physically speaking, I have the liberty to go anywhere I want to go. See, but I'm not joined to that spirit that governs that system. You can be in this world and not of this world. Just like in the days of Daniel. You see it. All the peoples had to bow down and worship an idol, but Daniel stood his ground. See it. You can be in this world and not of this world. Praise God. You can be in this world and have your spiritual faculties tuned into another dimension. A spiritual dimension. Praise God. See, and as you refuse to, you know, commit fornication and be yoked with unbelievers, you get persecuted. See, they call you a false prophet. They call you all kind of things. See it. They say you are scattering the brethren. They say you are antichrist. See it, and they reason among themselves that how come he doesn't have a big church? How come he doesn't have a satellite? His name is not on the satellite. See it? They might try to point out as some kind of physical problem you have. They will try to point out problem in your family members, problem in your relations. They will always look for a way to kind of accuse you and convince themselves that you are not of God. But stand your ground. If you have this revelation, stand your ground. Praise God. Joseph was, you know, ended up being confined to a prison where he was alone with a butler and a baker. See, all these things are ordered by God for our glorification. The butler is one who, you know, serves wine. And the baker is one who makes bread. See, what God was simply saying is that Joseph was in there in fellowship with the Word and the Spirit. In fellowship with the Word and the Spirit, which is the bread and the wine. That is fellowshipping with Christ. Brethren, hallelujah. See, in your quiet times, in your isolation, continue on fellowshipping with Christ. Continue on fellowshipping in the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is the charge that Jesus Christ gave his disciples. Do this in remembrance of me. See it. Eat the bread and drink the wine, which is my flesh and my blood. Feast on me. Fellowship on me. Continue with me. Continue eating the bread and the wine in your confinement. Praise God. Continue fellowshipping with the bread and the wine, and in due season, I will release you out of that prison and catapult you to the pinnacle of glory where no evil can touch you. Praise God. So Joseph in the prison with the baker and the butler is simply a picture of the communion of the saints as we commune with the body of Christ, which does nothing but bring about a remembrance of Christ in you. Jesus Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Saying, do this in remembrance of Christ. Do this in remembrance of your true celestial image that you lost. Praise God. Because rediscovering your celestial image is the thing that will catapult you to glory. It's the thing that will, you know, cause you to regain all that the Father had freely given to you from the foundation of the world. See, God never took anything from you. God never made you imperfect. God never made you poverty-stricken. See, never made you a creature of tribulation, a creature of hell. He made you perfect in his image and his likeness. Praise God, to rule and to reign with him. Oh, hallelujah. See it. That is, Christ represents your image. The image from the beginning. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. That is you. That is you. See, so in your isolation, in your quietness, continue to eat the bread and the wine. Continue to fellowship with the baker and the butler. See, just like, you know, Joseph did. Praise God. And as you do that, you'll be losing from the prison house of corruptibility. You'll be losing, you know, from that earthly tabernacle which has limited you and reduced you to a creature of the dust. You'll be losing, hallelujah, so that you can enter once more into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. So what happens? Moses was granted favor. He saw the vision, a prophetic vision of 7 years of plenty. and 7 years of famine. Praise God. That is, Pharaoh had this vision. The chief priests of Pharaoh and all the magicians and the religious people and all the mystics of his time could not interpret that vision. But Moses had the understanding of that vision, because Moses was gifted in understanding visions. Praise God. Today we will hear the voice of the Spirit. See, it actually see the future. See, the voice of the Spirit comes to us, revealing to us a vision of the future. Today we see the vision of the end of the faith. We see the vision of the end of time. Hallelujah. The Spirit enables us to see the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Praise God. Because the secrets of God are being committed to we who align ourselves with the Lord today. See, Jesus Christ says the Spirit will reveal things to come. The Spirit will reveal to you things to come. The Spirit will reveal to you things to come concerning God's kingdom and the end of this world. For we know that this present heaven and earth will pass away. See, we know that everything that is in this present world will wax old, wither away, and die off. See, but the Spirit gives us insight into things to come. See, things concerning God's kingdom, things that has not come into the heart of man to see nor understand. See, it is giving us wisdom today to become wiser than the beast of the field. Praise God. We are not just carried away with the present world. We are not carried away so that we become drunken. And you know, like the world is, and filled with pride. But rather, we see ahead. See, our vision is ahead of us, God. Hallelujah. We have the interpretation to the visions and the mysteries of the ages. These things have been committed to us. We are custodians of the mystery of God. Joseph had the ability to see visions, to interpret visions. Today we have the ability to interpret that more important vision, which is concerning the end. Praise God. You see, a prophet is not somebody that comes to tell you this will happen today, tomorrow in your life, or this will happen next tomorrow, or this one will tell you that you'll be rich or you'll be poor and all that. That is not a prophet. See, all those are just prophecies from the dust realm. Of course, in your walk with God, God might once in a while aid you, you know, with vision, with prophecies concerning this present life. But bear in mind, the ultimate prophecy that matters is the prophecy concerning God's kingdom, things to come. See, for everything that we see and know and understand in this age will be dissolved and come to naught. Totally dissolved. See, the memory of what we thought we are, or what we thought people are, or what we thought nations or peoples were, all these things will be dissolved. Praise God. Now, these things are dissolved in our minds. Eh? Individually, it will be dissolved in our consciousness, in our minds. Praise God, as the age of Christ comes into view. Praise God. So Joseph had this vision. Joseph had the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. See it. 7 fat cows, 7 lean cows. The 7 lean cows, you know, consuming the 7 fat cows. Joseph said it means 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That is what Pharaoh told Joseph. That is what Joseph told Pharaoh, the interpretation. See, and the solution to this was to gather food, gather corn during the years of plenty, so that during the years of famine, Egypt will have plenty. See it. Because of this insight, Pharaoh was so impressed that he exalted Joseph to the throne. The Bible says that Joseph became the second most powerful ruler in Egypt just because of this prophecy. And he went about building barns and gathering unto the Lord. Gathering, you know, food in the barns for Pharaoh. Let's quickly read this. I'll just read this part. Genesis chapter 41. Verse 31. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed their knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Praise God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, I can't pronounce this well, says Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all of the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Praise God. Now let's stop here. So you see the exaltation of Joseph. Joseph became the ruler of Egypt. The signet or the ring that was upon the hand of the Pharaoh was handed over to him. See, the signet talks of authority, power, all power. And at the name of Joseph, every knee was to bow. He had absolute power. Seeing Joseph was like seeing Pharaoh. Praise God. See, that is the picture of the glorified Christ. For the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Praise God. And this is the realm that God exalts his people to. Anyone who will live must bow to Christ, must bow to the eternal Son of God. Praise God. If you get to this place, they bow to the Christ in you. See, they worship the Christ in you to live. Praise God. Joseph became a life giver. See, a sustainer of life. See, he became a savior of the whole world at that point in time. Because shortly after, the whole world had to go up to Egypt to buy food to survive. Because they were all, there was this very harsh famine for 7 years after. Only Egypt had the insight to gather. To gather and gather and gather abundantly during those first 7 years of plenty. Praise God. When the famine swept over the world, every nation had to go to Egypt for food to survive. See, every nation had to come to Egypt to survive, meaning that every nation had to submit to Joseph, had to bow to Joseph to live. Praise God. This is the type of thing that occurs in the saints. This is the type of thing that occurs in the saints as they are glorified. Because the saints are life givers. They are high priests unto God. Praise God. As the nations pine away and wither away. Praise God. Wither away in the transgression of Adam. Pine away and perish away. See, as they go down the endless pit, bottomless pit, into endless darkness. In their tribulation, they will have no choice but to once more look unto the living one to live. No matter where they are, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, whether they are still in this world or out of this world, they still have to be connected back to that original vine, which is Christ, to live. So they still have to come back to bow to the feet, at the feet of Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow to live. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. In Psalm chapter 2. Serve the Son with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Every nation must bow down to Christ. Everyone must submit to Christ to live. So whether we like it or not, see, at the end of the day, every man must turn back. In your tribulation, in your anguish, or sorry, in your pain, you will definitely turn back to seek the living one. Praise God. Now, this same Joseph who was rejected, hated by his brethren, separated from his brethren, misunderstood by his brethren, now becomes a life giver to his brethren. The same brethren that despised him had to go up to meet him seated on the throne. And they had to bow down to him to live. See, that is the power. That is the power of God's miraculous work. See it. Never bother when your brethren reject you. Never bother when they don't understand you. Don't get worried or threatened when you are isolated. Just look unto the end. For they must all come to Christ at the end to live. These same words that they rejected, they one day look and say, "Oh, so you, my brother told the truth. Oh, he was saying the truth. Oh, had they known, they would not have crucified Christ. Had they known that he was the Lord of glory, he was their savior, he was there to save them, they would not have raised their hand upon him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Praise God. Joseph was separated from his brethren. See, for a season. And he went ahead of them to prepare a way for them. He went ahead of them so that he can be a light unto them in the latter days. Praise God. In God, there is no revenge, no striking back, no remembrance of the old, of the former things. Joseph forgave them and wept, and they were all reconciled in one again. But you see that Joseph was predestined unto glory, unto honor and majesty. See, Joseph represents those who will manifest Christ in the flesh, those who will attain to this reality while here upon the earth. Praise God. They will awaken in the days of their flesh and rediscover God's kingdom, rediscover their spiritual potentiality, rediscover the power that is locked up within them. They will discover everything, the mystery of life, and they shall rule absolute, exactly like Jesus. Praise God. This same Jesus Christ that was rejected many years ago, today, even those who pierced him, those who crucified him, said, we don't have the ability to see into the spirit, to know where they are today, but I am sure and convinced in my heart that today some of those who crucified Jesus have long since been reconciled to him. See, for with Christ there is no end to forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That was the sincere heart of God, the sincere man of Christ. For in reality, they did not know what they were doing. Had they known, they would not have crucified him. Had the veil been removed from their faces, they would have recognized him and understood that he was their life and their hope. Praise God. See, so God is calling a people and separating a people unto himself. Praise God. Come out from among them, says the Lord. Be separate from them. Separate from the world, from the dimension of the flesh, and the wickedness and the lusts that are daring. See, to remember your true celestial characteristics as you feast on the world, as you feast with the baker and the butler. Remember, let there be a remembrance of your celestial self, of your oneness with the Father, of your immaculate self without attachments to this natural world. Praise God. Remember your kingdom, your spiritual dimension, your true world that you came from. Remember. See, that you are not of this world that passes away, but you have a world without end. Praise God. Come out from among them and I will become what? You shall become sons and daughters unto me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from among them. See it. You are not better than them. You don't hate them. But you simply have a revelation of who you are. See, you simply have a revelation now of your true nature. See it. And you hear the voice of the Spirit telling you to come up hither. See it. Pick up your spiritual self. Leave your humanity behind. Leave, see it, that, all those attachments to the flesh behind and come up hither. This is what God is saying in this hour. Come up hither. Praise God. See, so God is separating the people unto himself, just like Joseph. Joseph, for a season, had to go ahead of his brethren. He had to be separate from his brethren. He was chosen, predestined to become a life giver. See, it was predestined to go ahead of them into the spirit. Sitting upon the throne, talks about sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sit in God's kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom. It's not of this world. Sit. You cannot be there and be here. Sit. It's a world purely spiritual and eternal, invisible. See, that is the dimension Christ walked in. That is the world and realm he walked in. See, that's why even Jesus was separated from his own brethren. You notice, from the moment he started to walk in the full consciousness of Christ, after his baptism, you notice he never went back, you know, to being with the brethren. He now was consecrated unto the Lord to do that which is of the Lord. See it? See it? All the things that he thought were his brethren after the flesh, all that was over. Praise God. Because on one occasion they came to meet him, say, look, your mother is outside, your brethren are outside. And he told them, look, pointing to his disciples, he told them, look, these are my mother, my brothers, and my sisters, those who do the will of God. See it? The spiritual, in that dimension, you know people after the spirit, not after the flesh. Praise God. For we know that which is the flesh is just our formation, the formation of our minds, and these things are just temporary. They are not. See, so we go ahead of the brethren. In reality, the whole world, we are all brethren. We are all brethren, whether we are white, black, Hindu, Muslim, Buddha, you know, pagans, or whatever, we are all brethren. But we are all brethren with one celestial, in one celestial family, one father, one mother. We are all brethren. Everybody, look around the street, even the one that hurt you yesterday, the one that abused you, the one that, they are all what? Brethren. Your brethren are not just those, your brothers and sisters out of the flesh, or those that attend the same church with you. Those are not brethren. All that are just your own formation of your own mind. See it? The brethren are the people you see dispersed all over the world. They are the brethren. See it? Your brethren are spirits, spiritual beings. We are all one in the Father. See it? But the problem now is that a lot of us, we all descended into the dust, into, you know, carnal living, and we forgot the brotherhood. That's why we have wars. You have, you know, all kind of problems upon the earth today. Divisions here and there. Hatred, contentions, you know, for vain glory, to be seen, to be recognized. All these things is because we descended and put on, you know, that mind of flesh and blood. We descended into the lie, you see. Praise God. See, but God has appointed a Joseph company. People like Joseph who will go ahead of the brethren back into the spirit and to, you know, facilitate reconciliation back unto God. Reconciliation back unto the Father. Reconciliation back into the brotherhood in Christ. Praise God, so that we can once more enjoy that love and bond of oneness we once had from the beginning. Praise God. See it. But there must be a separation. Some will go ahead of others. Some will grab this revelation first. Revelation of God's kingdom. Revelation of God's world. Of that original model. And enter into it first. See it. These are the ones like Joseph, who will stand and bring about reconciliation. See it. They will restore the people back, those who are perishing and languishing away in the darkness of this world. Praise God. Spiritual famine takes a hold on those who are not attached to Christ, those who are not walking in the Spirit. For out of the Spirit flows the unlimited and abundant life of God. Praise God. Joseph in the land of Egypt reigning upon the throne represents one who is in the spirit, living in the abundant life of God. Praise God. In that dimension, The Bible says you shall give seed and shall not borrow. You shall be the head and you shall not be the tail. See, you are a giver. See, continuous giving. You become a giver of life, a giver of love. See, a quickening spirit. See, quickening others who are dead in the transgression of Adam. Praise God. Now I'm going to round up with the two prayers. One of the prayers is that of the father of Joseph, Jacob Israel. See it. Of course, in the olden days, the patriarchs, that those are the elders, normally will lay hands and pray and give blessings before they die. Right now, we're going to read about the blessing of the father of Joseph. It's a very, very prophetic blessing. And also we'll read the blessing of Moses, which is very similar. Blessing of Moses over the tribe of Joseph. So it's prophetic for those who will be separate from their brethren. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 49 verse 22. The blessings of the father of Joseph over Joseph says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers, those are the bowmen, hunters, have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, and blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be upon the head and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Praise God. Now this is, talks about the unlimited spiritual blessings with which those who attain to this place in Christ are crowned with. Those who are separated from their brethren, taken away from this world to walk this path that no man has walked before. These are the ones who will be crowned with that excellency and glory from the everlasting hills of Zion. See it. This talks of unlimited spiritual blessings. See it. Blessings from the deep. See it. Blessings from the breast of the womb. Hallelujah. And blessings from the Almighty God. And covering from the Almighty God. This is what awaits those who God separates and gathers unto himself out of this world. Praise God. Notice that they have hated him. See it. See, when you want to walk this walk, you will not be loved by people. See it. You'll be misunderstood by people. Jesus Christ says the time comes when anybody killing you will think he's doing service to God. Because you look like an outlaw. You look like a scatterer. See it. Exactly what they did to Jesus is the same thing they do to any man who draws close to God with this revelation. For anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. He's misunderstood. See, they can't figure out what you are saying. They can't understand what you are saying. It's not possible. See, but they will understand later. and they will still come back to that same name, to bow to that same name to live. So we see the separation here from the brethren. It's prophetic. See, Joseph was predestined, taken out of from among the world, the brethren of this world, separate unto God, to stand in the light, and to stand as a bridge between humanity and God. That is how we are today, prophetically speaking. Those who are hearkening to the call. It's a very high calling, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His light. Oh, glory, hallelujah. See, to show forth the beauty of the marvelous kingdom of God. See, to show forth the, you know, the beauty upon the everlasting hills. Cause the men to see the blessings of God flowing through you like a river, like a river. See it. They see you from all places, even in the spirit realm. Praise God. The spirits are watching. You can never tell. See it. You lost a child some years ago, maybe due to drug, was a drug addict. See it. You lost a friend in an accident, a parent due to cancer. You lost a son due to some kind of sickness and all that. You can stand there in the light. See it and minister to that soul as you stand in the light. See it, for they behold the essence of God flowing through you as a river. See it, boundless love of God flowing through you as a river. And they come to that river to be healed. To partake of it. Isn't it wonderful? Glory, 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 glory be to God. Praise God. You know that Jesus Christ ministered to the old prophets, prophets of old, the holy prophets. Do you know during the days of his ministry, he ministered to them? Somebody say, how can that be? The Bible says that they resurrected and they appeared in the city of Jerusalem after the resurrection of Jesus. Why is it so? Why is it so? Did they just suddenly wake up when Jesus Christ woke up from the grave? You see, they were receiving from Jesus, tapping from that flow of life from Jesus while he was ministering those 3.5 years upon the earth. So it is even recorded in Peter that those who disobeyed, who rebelled in the days of Noah, were also touched by the ministry of Christ. He loosing them from their prison, places. Praise God. In likewise manner, those who manifest this invisible kingdom of God in the flesh, those who attain to this place of life, you minister to spirits, to souls, to peoples of past generations and present generations. You become a giver of life, a quickener. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a deep, but it's real, it's true. Praise God. Some people are there, spirits are there, bound, you know, in torment, you know, from the religious doctrines they've heard. They are unable to break free and to enter into the flow of God. They are able to break free and enter into the glory, into that body. see it. But if you stand in the light, as it's in the light, you can minister to them. See it. Praise God. Sitting upon the throne is for those who manifest the mystery of godliness in the flesh. Revealing God, the invisible and incorruptible God, through your physical body, that people can see the light radiating through you. You become a life giver exactly like Joseph. See it. Healing the famished souls. Souls in tribulation. See it. Souls that have strayed away into desert places. Waterless places. Praise God. People who have felt the condemnation, who did not know what the love of God is all about. The unlimited capacity of God to forgive and to reconcile and to, you know, to draw people unto himself. The vicarious nature of God. Praise God. Even Moses later on spoke about this same separation from the brethren. Praise God. I'll round up Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 13. And of Joseph he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his hand, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that croucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the everlasting hill, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that was separated, and the goodwill of him that dwell in the bush. Let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph and upon the head of him that was separated from his brethren." Let's stop there. So you can see this same separated from the brethren. Him that was separated from the brethren. See, let the favor and the blessings of him that dwell in the bush. We know him that dwell in the bush is God, the I am that I am, that dwelt in the bush when Moses encountered him. In that encounter, Moses was transformed, and that is why we saw a new Moses. Moses appeared, that's why, with a new name, a new nature, in great power and in great glory. See, Moses became a deliverer, became a life giver. He was actually a type of the expression of the I am that I am, which is Christ. See, an expression of the living God in flesh form. That was Moses as he encountered the burning bush. Praise God. He likewise, man, those who are separate from the brethren, exactly like Joseph, those who God is taking out of this world, who is God is consecrating unto himself as a holy nation, a royal priesthood, do receive that favor, that resurrection power, that glorification power, that favor of him that dwell in the bush. See it. We see the also here the blessings of the everlasting hills. See it. The precious things of the ancient mountains, which is Zion. See it. The beauty and the glory and the love of God. And all these things that are hidden from men in their descent is granted to those who access, who are separated from God's throne, from the brethren, separated from the world, those who go ahead. Praise God. Jesus Christ went also ahead of his brethren. See, even his own brethren did not understand him. The Jews did not understand him. And to this very day, many people still do not recognize him, nor do they understand him. See, but ultimately, the people will see in their tribulation. Ultimately, in the days when famine overcomes them, when the peace eludes them, when, you know, problems and sorrows and worries encompass them, they will look and behold the beauty and the glory of him that sits upon the throne. And they shall come and bow at his feet to live. Praise God. You shall bow at Christ in you. That name is the name to be worshipped throughout all eternity. Praise God. So this is what God is doing. Let us prepare ourselves, brethren. You recognize how precious and how sacred the calling is. See, it's a very high calling. It's no child's play. See, these are things that pertain to life and life, eternal life. These are things that pertain to, you know, to generations and generations, born and, you know, unborn. See, those who awaken and hearken to this call by crossing over and standing in the gap, apart from partaking of the totality of God's blessings, the unlimited blessings of God, and the covering and the protection of the Almighty, they also become life givers, just like Joseph. See, quickening the dead, putting a smile upon the faces, loosening the souls from the prison houses of corruption and of death. We praise God for this privilege. Amen.